CKIM3FM, Montreal.
Atop a holy mountain sits a garden where the heavens hang low. In that garden, the divine walk among us. Well, one of us, because only one has ever seen it and lived to tell the tale. John Icarus, the soul that escaped the hangman's noose by growing wings and flying to the sky. And there in that garden, John found a lake where dreams come true. And at that lake, he met a god. A child chained to the shore of the lake, his tears filled the pond. The great child god told Icarus a story. The story of a pale horse who had entered the garden uninvited. That horse had tricked the child, chained him to the ground, and drank the lake of dreams down to its last drop. So the boy had been refilling that lake with his own tears ever since. The boy god needed help, and so he made a deal with John. If you can slay that beast and bring me the key to these chains inside of that monster, you may go to my lake and fish out any dream your heart desires. Icarus accepted, and here the story begins.
This is Musicians for Palestine podcast. Today we will hear a conversation with artist, activist, and filmmaker Damon Davis. Based in St. Louis, Missouri, Damon was directly involved in the uprising against police violence, Black Lives Matter. We spoke about his work and his support for Musicians for Palestine.
Well, I think my journey or my exposure to the Palestinian struggle, what happened through Ferguson, right? I met people from the first time I met actual Palestinian people that were displaced in America was in Ferguson, with people that showed up to support us and that believed in the same things we did. The first time I hear about the type of weaponry that was being used on us, being used on people in other places, Palestinians were sending information to help us against tear gas, how to build masks, how to get it out of your eyes. These are Palestinian people tweeting back and forth with Ferguson protesters, and there was a solidarity there that was just I couldn't ignore it, and it was and so I started to learn more, and I have friends now to this day that were just educating me from a human level. But people like, I grew up here and this is what I had to go through, and they looking you in your eyes and they telling you what they done seen, and they telling you the direct similarities to the way that I grew up and the things that happened to me and my community that the government did. So it starts to broaden the conversation about what oppression is and who getting oppressed, and meeting people in real life that done been through stuff that is comparable to what we saw in Ferguson and what I personally went through, and good, genuine people that cared about me and I cared about them, and just trading stories is where this is my inception into understanding more about what Palestinian people are continually being or what they're continually up against. You know what I'm saying? That's where I learned about it, and that's where my journey started to, and that's where I started to meet people and befriend people and build relationships with Palestinian people on the streets, and even now, like some of my friends, a fellow artist, even artists in my own collective, and Screwed Arts, my friend Kiki, she's Palestinian. She's been in St. Louis, but just listening to her and her telling me her story and her family story and what happened to them, I'm very empathetic and sympathetic. Just being a Black American and knowing what we've been through. You know what I'm saying? It's a never-ending thing. Since Black people got off the boat, we've been fighting for for freedom, right? And so I think and even now, because I'm not old, right? I was just younger 7 years ago. And so to see what for me was a life-defining moment and me watching the country talk because of what Ferguson was and right after that Baltimore and then this emergence of the, or this section of the Black power struggle being dubbed the Black Lives Matter movement. This happens long before George Floyd, and so I wonder why it was mind-boggling to me why it was like I'm hearing people say the exact same thing, like, oh, we're being awoken again. And so then I started to feel old because I'm like, this is probably what my father was talking about, and like this idea that like and because things are moving so fast here, it don't take a decade or 20 years for people to act like they forgot. It only take about four years for you to forget that this just happened, right? And there was an uprising that just happened right where I came from and in Baltimore and all over the country, right? And I think the difference is that you saw George Floyd be executed slowly, like you know what I mean. It was a horrible, horrifying thing, and I think that wasn't available for Michael Brown. You didn't see that, but even with other people, it was people after Michael Brown that you saw stuff on video, and it still didn't ring true. It was always something that you could say they was in the wrong, all of that. And that's the thing about white supremacy. It always has like a trap door that it can exit out of so that white people feel okay. They feel like good people and taking their kids to school and all of that. And that they ain't the ones doing that. And the police are actually out there protecting them. And they protecting your lifestyle so that you don't have to like live like us. But they represent something completely different to a lot of black people. Honestly, even people with police, black police. Like I got police in my family, but it's still even there's an aura around what police means in the black community, right? And so people see that, and I think with a pandemic going on. With all of this social upheaval and just basically, I guess, capitalism kind of caving in on itself slowly or at least the American idea of itself is starting to be just the wool is starting to be pulled back. I think it was a perfect storm right then with what happened to George Floyd for people to just be like, well, some things we can't really deal, you know, or some things is out of our control, a pandemic, did this, but this ain't, you know what I'm saying? These are like people are making choices to harm other people and to live on the backs of other people. So I think that it was a moment. And also there were people like, because of how fast kids grow up, it was kids that didn't understand what was going on when Ferguson was happening. That were all like 20 year olds. You dig, like for George Floyd, right? And so now it's people that's running out. They got a different sense of energy and still, you know, they still got hope for humanity. But for me, a lot of it, some of it was just like, It was inspiring, but it was also very caused a lot of despair too, because it's like this is a loop. I'm starting to see the loop, and I'm starting to see that, you know, people get up in arms, and then they go back to work, and then something happens, and they feel like they need to deal with it, and then they go back to the way things were, you know. And a lot of people just want to get back to the way things were, because real change, it's just uncomfortable for everybody, not just the bad guys, quote unquote. It's uncomfortable for everybody. And so it was just like, I kind of had, and then even moving out of that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, evolution is so slow, you know, morally and spiritually, that it's like, I was kind of jaded at, like, now after seeing, like, you think it's going to change for real now, but then you see the pushback from the other side. It just makes the things much clearer with what the country thinks of you and what it thinks of who they really think are citizens. You know what I'm saying? People that can scale walls and break into the Capitol and nothing happen to them. Like, you know what I mean? Things like that. But you, like, you were a threat to them by just saying, don't shoot at us. Don't kill us in the street. Don't strangle us and shit like that. Like, it's just really surreal being a black person in America. If you're aware at all about what's going on. So I had mixed feelings, but mostly just sad for George Floyd and his family, that this shit had claimed another person, and just waiting to see how we was gonna deal with it. Because like I said, like I'm just in it now. That's just where I'm gonna die in it, working on it, trying to do what I can. And it was also inspiring seeing younger people that made that same decision that I made back in Ferguson to just stay on it. And it was a lot. I just felt a lot of feelings around that situation. Also, like, how do I pace myself? Because I'm going to be in it, and I don't want to die right now. I got other things I want to do. So how do you pace yourself to not have a fucking stroke or a heart attack or just anything happen to you so that you can continue doing what you're doing? That particular project is called Crack. And so, for multiple reasons, I was talking about grief and loss, but the main catalyst was in 2019. My mother passed away. And so I started to, when I slowed down, I started to reflect more on me and what I want to say about me, and not so much my communal identity as a black man from America, but my identity is Damon Davis. Who am I, and what am I going through that other people ain't going through in that moment, and not pushing my personal shit aside to be some kind of beacon or mouthpiece for everybody, but digging deeply into what I have going on. And I think also by proxy, if you're doing that type of honesty, you're gonna be speaking for somebody, or you're gonna be reaching people who will be able to relate to it, because everybody's going through, somebody somewhere is going through loss and grief. And so I did these busts of myself, basically these self-portraits that I continue to make out of concrete, but it's a blend of concrete and precious stones. And sometimes other things, like I found roots that fit into the head, and so they're all reflections and metaphors for underneath the facade that sometimes, you know, masculinity makes us build, the world, just the thick skin you got to build to survive, and also the, you know, the myths and lies that we believe about what men are supposed to be in times of trauma, in times of grief. You told that you're supposed to be strong and you got to do this, you got to do that. But eventually you crack somehow. And that's where the word, where, you know, some people self-medicate, you know, some people, you know, it's different ways that people deal with stuff. But those are cracks in that facade. And I started to think, so what happens when it breaks down? And what happens if you let it break down and there's something more precious and more sturdy and strong underneath? And you never knew that. Oh man, music is my first love. It's the first thing I thought was gonna, you know, get me out of the hood, quote unquote. I knew I wasn't gonna be a basketball player, at a certain age. And I knew it was going to be something to do with my brain. And music has been the thing that has helped me find identity, purpose, and back to therapy. It's the most therapeutic practice that I have. I can sit by myself with headphones, make beats, Like if I didn't have to eat, I would forget to eat and to do stuff. You know, it's something I can get lost in. And through that, as my practice expanded, as far as a professional practice, also music, the first thing I did professionally, trying to make a living at, wasn't the most successful, but I ran a record label for 10 years now. It would be far-fetched, and you know, it was a collective too, and it also brought a bunch of people together from a bunch of different walks of life. It just was about originality, innovation when it comes to thinking about music. Yeah, in St. Louis specifically, Southside for real, specifically Southside St. Louis and East St., because that's where I'm from. And it was that was a thing. Also, about midway point, I also realized I was an artist and not a label head. You know, I wanted to dig deeper into that, into the collective side. But music has always been a big thing. One, it's a storytelling vehicle. It's a vehicle for storytelling. So when we talk about the Darker Gods album, even the album after that, Lake of Dreams, which I'm gonna have that on vinyl in March. I'm gonna let you know about that. But that's a part of a bigger universe that I'm building artistically called Darker Gods, and the story of these black deities, and then also back to mythology, power, identity, those three things that I constantly explore in my work. Music gives me a vehicle to do it, that in a way that sculpture can't do, that in a way that photography or painting can't do. And at the same time, I guess it lends itself to helping those other mediums better articulate itself, right? It adds texture to an entire universe, and they work together. Just raw music, no words, no nothing, supersedes language, age, all of those boundaries, gender, race, orientation. And music can bring emotions out of people that have nothing to do with each other on another side of the world, and they can be feeling the same emotion by hearing the same piece of music. And I think that's a really, really powerful thing, you know? And you know, the philosophy, even in the opera that I'm working on, one of the main philosophies that I keep talking about in it is vibration, right? And so it's the opera is about a little kid named Cosmo, a little black kid that from St. Louis that can astral project in his sleep, and he goes to different planets in his sleep, right? And it seems like it's a real heartwarming, you know, family thing, and it is about a family, but it's also about how kids are much smarter than we give them credit for, and kids are ingesting life. The same trauma that the mom and dad, the kids can see a relationship that's failing, or kids can see that you sick and dying of cancer, whether you lie to them or you not. Kids understand when people die and they not coming back, right? But we treat kids with kid gloves, quote unquote, and act as though they are not aware. It ain't the same as experience, right? Experience gives you a language for what's going on inside of you, but children are very aware. Most times much more aware than adults, because adults have done an exercise to work out all, to rinse out all of that natural fucking awareness that we got, so that we can survive in a world that's constantly beating us up, right? And so kids have a resource that we kind of use up by the time we get grown, especially imagination, right? Like kids are deeply inside of their imagination, and I think you taught to cut that out of you as you get older. You know what I mean? And so the in that, I'm also speaking about what vibration as almost God itself, or the universe. Like the word God, people think it's tied to some religion. It's not. God means power in every language. It's the most powerful thing in every language. It's bigger than you. And so when I'm thinking about vibration and the fact that we all and everything around us, from the table to the microphone I'm talking into, to the glasses on my face, are made of the same thing that my bones and my skin and everything's made out of. The separating thing is that it's vibrating at a different frequency than I am. My voice is vibrating at a specific frequency, and my brain is in control of that frequency, which makes language, which is communication between me and you.
90.3 FM.
Cinema Politica invites you to a screening of the Academy Award-nominated film Writing with Fire, followed by a discussion with Ishita Tiwari and special guests. Monday, March 14th at 7 p.m. Writing with Fire is a fierce cinematic testament to the brilliant work of brave women journalists at the Kahbar Lahariya, India's only all-women-run news organization. Don't miss this film, a screening co-presented with Fondation Arthur Cini and the South Asian Women's Community Center. Join us on March 14th. Doors at 6:30, screening 7, 1455 de Maisonneuve West, room H110. Info, cinemapolitica.org, or find us on social media. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
If it appears that COVID-19 symptoms like cough, fever, sore throat, and loss of taste and smell are beginning to present themselves, you can begin to self-isolate and take a rapid test at home. After getting your test results, you can learn more about proper self-isolation guidelines by visiting quebec.ca/self-isolating. This information is there to help protect you and everyone living under the same roof. All of us can make a difference, so let's keep making sure all of us are safe. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
GCC.
تفكرت يوما بمعنى الصديق وأرسلت طرفي بفكر عميق ترى ما سيرس عليه اختياري وماذا سيغدو كظلي رفيقي. تفكرت يوما بمعنى الصديق وأرسلت طرفي بفكر عميق ترى من سيرس عليه اختياري وماذا سيغدو كظل رفيقي. وقالوا سيضني كبحث دقيق فجهزت نفسي لبحث الدقيق ركبت البحار وخضت الصحارى.
أنا الهلال اللي على الفوز معتاد هذا الزعيم اللي يقولوا لويله الفرق واضح كل يوم ويزداد الفرق واضح كل يوم ويزداد بين النوادي والأسد في عرينا بين النوادي والأسد في علينا إلا لها زاد المسافة والبعاد والجال يصدق فعلهم خابرينا إلا لها زاد المسافة والبعاد والجال يصدق فعلهم خابرينا. ياسر لعب لعب على كيف ما راد ياسر لعب لعب على كيف ما راد والله ذيب غبي فاقدينا والله ذيب غبي فاقدينا.
وعنك سولفول الناس يا عقد من الذهب والماس يا قصة حب مكتوبة قطر يا تاج فوق الراس يا شمس حيرت أقمار يا دار ما مثلها دار خذاك العز لدروبة وصرتي أجمل المشوار.
يا شمس حيرت أقمار يا دار ما مثلها دار قطر يا تاج فوق الراس
نعتز بك يا غلانا يا اللي جمعنا غلاك انت لنا وكل بونا يا ام الجمايل فداك نعتز بك يا غلانا يا اللي جمعنا غلاك انت لنا وكل بونا يا ام الجمايل فداك
وسط قلوبنا حياكم نفتح أغلى لرضاكم حي اللي وصال يا حيا
أهلا يا هلا حي الله يا من بالعيون محلى حي اللي وصال يا حيا
وسط قلوبنا حياكم نفتح أغلى لرضاكم
حي اللي وصال يا حيا
شرفت هنا وهنيا قلنا ارحبوا مثنيا
حي اللي وصال يا حيا
يا ضيف انت يا منورنا جيت وجيتك تسعدنا حي اللي وصل يا حي
اهلا يا هلا حي الله يا من بالعيون محلى حي اللي وصل يا حي
وحد خطاها زايد الخير وراشد كل على عهد المحبة يعهد فوق الترى فيها عظيمة الشواهد للتنمية طفت جميع المجال فيها الشؤون الاجتماعية دايم تزرع الشعب الخير في ظلم غنم فكر وحضارة بين أرض المعالم تطوي بها رحب الزمن والمسافة
بين العلاتين سبع رايات
Yeah. story's over. All my present and television coma. All my present and is gone too far to change. My blood is in vain. Flash across your screen. Got you in the pain. 15 minutes of freedom. Still can fit so many. Sterilize your conscience. And disgrace your.
If it appears that COVID-19 symptoms like cough, fever, sore throat, and loss of taste and smell are beginning to present themselves, you can begin to self-isolate and take a rapid test at home. After getting your test results, you can learn more about proper self-isolation guidelines by visiting quebec.ca/self-isolating. This information is there to help protect you and everyone living under the same roof. All of us can make a difference, so let's keep making sure all of us are safe. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, sir. You already know what it is.
What it is.
This is Jason Alexander on behalf of THD Entertainment letting y'all know we're on CKUT 90.3 all month with the Montreal Sessions, myself, DJ Rossi Ross, and of course, Colin Hassel on the drums.
Yes, sir, Montreal. That's Whose Vibe Is It Anyway? Mark your calendars 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through the month of March. Hit us up on IG at THD Entertainment. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear. What's popping in your neighborhood? We got to know.
Live radio with Widget and my man Pro.